Ja. So as you can see, it was a pretty amazing trip. There's obviously a thousand things that are going on. You know, all I wanted to do, I had some stuff going, but I just want to, this was the motive. Okay, maybe we're not going to see that, but that's okay. But this is 2 Timothy 2, and I repeated this to those guys. What we ended up doing is we had 4 groups that came from villages that were really distant, okay? I know it's hard for you to tell, but the first group was actually a group of older guys, and I'm not even sure I saw a picture of them. But anyway, they were from a village that was north and west of Luke, and it took these guys about 3 hours to get where we were at. They were from a village that was called Mambon, and that was the first week that we had. And then the second group that we had was south of Luke and also west, which was from a place called Mabot. And it was also roughly a 3-hour journey for these guys to get to the training center as well. The third week we did a group that was from a coastal place. It was about, if you walked up the beach from Luke's, you would get to there. It was about 20-30 miles. It's a place called Inyosaro. That was the group of the young guys, the guy with the really bright green shirt. That was that group. And then we did the local guys within the area that Luke ministers in Vilankulu. What I had hoped to show was that there was, I didn't realize when we were driving in, Luke goes, oh, this is my boat, it's out here. These guys are, you know, from here to the house is about 3 hours. And so they're going to be coming a long way. I didn't realize what all that entailed. But as we drove out, both when we went up to see Steph and went south, if you look at a map, you can see what God did by bringing these villages. And I mean, I never put that together until I was thinking about the map. One of the cities is down inland below Vilankulu. Of course, there's Vilankulu. There's one slightly north of Vilankulu called Inyosaro, and there's Mambon. And so if you look at it strategically, what God did is from that place literally took that teaching and spread it out for that whole area. And what's interesting about this is the area Islam is slowly making its way down and is coming into that area. And so the guys were saying they're very afraid of Islam. Not hard to understand that, huh? They're very afraid. And so it's like there's this sort of this barrier now that God has put in store. The thing that I was most encouraged by was you guys heard the manual thing. I did not create a manual. I had no idea they were going to catch on like this. So what I ended up doing is I worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. That's what I did when I was not in this classroom, was worked on this thing sometimes till about 9 o'clock at night. Turned out to be 43 pages that I put together for them. I did get it and finished in time. I left it with Serge and Victor. They're both the guys that will translate it for the guys. And so they're actually working on that as we speak. But we were told that they really want to take this training and go out to their villages and the villages even further than they are, and to duplicate the training. And so it's very exciting, to say the least, to see what God is doing there with the study of His Word. But that is the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle, and that's what we built all of this on. That you, the things, Paul says, that you have heard of me, those things you teach to other men who will be able to teach others also. And I was constantly reminding these guys as I was there. I came from America because God asked me to come to America to teach you guys. But I'm here to teach you to think beyond your villages. Your country is dependent upon you guys, and especially you young men. You are the generation that will carry this to the next level. And so I just kept encouraging them. And so I feel really good about it, what Luke has shared with us, that, you know, our task was complete. It was a great time. The food was amazing. Well, there are certain things that you probably don't want to eat, but you know me, I don't have a problem. Anything, chew and swallow, I'm okay with it. It was just a great experience. I feel like I'm talking, going, rambling on here and stuff. Like I said, I'm turning my head and things are not catching up quite. So, I know this is unusual for a Sunday morning. Before we close, though, because we got a lot more things to do. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah. Anybody have any questions? We'll do the best that we can to answer them. She did. We actually went up north. She's about 6 hours north of where we were. It's about 6 hours north, northwest of where we were at. Yeah. It was good. It's great ministry that's there for her. Yeah. So we're not sure yet what she's going to do. Yes, sir. You can see those little tiny trucks. They do have some vans that they call, they're not Sherpas, that's Philippines. God, what do they call those things, those vans? Anyway, little vans, but they're no, they stay on basically what you call the main roads. If you get off the roads to the villages, you're on foot or in a vehicle like Luke has. Yeah, one of the four bys. Yeah, Bill, talk about. No, we didn't. We didn't. We were so literally, I wanted to take Marie to experience Bangera. But you know what was really cool about that? We didn't get out there. There was just so much, I mean, it was nonstop. But for the Vilankula week, our last week, there were two guys that came from Bangera, from the island, to the classes. And you saw them on here, but there was their testimony afterwards. They had no idea, because it's a village chief thing, and he was supposed to be the one that came. It's because he's also the pastor. He, whatever reason, decided not to go. So he told these two young men, you two are going to this thing. And, you don't argue with the village chief. So they got on the boat. That was the guys that we were praying for. Remember I asked you guys to pray over the storm? That was incredible. The storm moved in. And, you're literally right there on the water. They couldn't make that journey that first day. But they got across. And those two guys, it was stunning what God did in those two guys' lives. They were just like, we didn't know what the heck our chief was sending us to. And they were just really grateful to be able to take this back out to the island. So no, we didn't physically get there, but God's word did. I'm telling you, it was truly amazing. Yes, sir.
You have translated distance into hours. Can you translate hours into distance? In other words, those trucks, whatever
you're
riding
in,
can only go so fast.
Right, absolutely. From Johannesburg to Vilankulu, what did Luke say? It's like 900 miles. About 900 miles, yeah. And we drove. But you only do it in 6 hour blocks, okay? So because you do not want to be on the roads at night. No. Yeah, not good. So I don't know if that helps. If that answers your question. Oh,
3 hours away.
Right. It's mile-wise, if you were to drive it, like if Luke was to drive out there in his truck, he could probably be out there in about probably, say, an hour and a half. But what it is there's that road that you saw, the good paved road. That's the highway. It's the only highway in the whole country right there. That's it. Runs all the way south, all the way up into Tanzania. And then there's one that cuts across over to Zimbabwe. But these guys, to get from a boat, they would have to walk like an hour and a half to the highway. And then they would get picked up on the highway in those buses and stuff. And that's where that 3 hour comes from. But many of them walk. The worker is the guard at night at Luke's, he lives in Chikaman, which is a village where Abilio, the boy that was cutting the green stuff, that's Abilio's house, that's Chigamon. And that worker, he walked 2.5 hours a day just to get to work. To work overnight, to sit out there and guard, and then walk 2.5 hours back the next day to his village. For like $20 a month. Yeah. And Luke is paying him like triple what they would normally make. Yeah. It's insane. And basically, it's if you're on the highway, it's spaced about every. Luke says it's about every 3 hours. There's a station. Most people do use diesel there by far, and diesel was the equivalent. What did Luke say? It was the equivalent of $1.75 per liter. So it's about $8 or something like that. Almost $8 a gallon U.S. It's a huge amount of money. Everything. She went to, you should tell them more about the food, but I mean, it is unbelievable how expensive it is. Because remember, where they're at, they got nothing there. It all has to be trucked in from Maputo or from South Africa. So you got all that price tacked onto it. So a chicken, and we're talking more like what we would call a Cornish hen, but for them a chicken is like, what, $6? Yeah. I mean, it's insane how much it is there. Everything is expensive. Yeah. Well, yeah, to drive. We went out at night. We were out at night all the time, but to drive. You don't want to drive at night because the vehicles are so bad and the roads are hilly. There's no lights. There's nothing. And there's constantly, and they fly, okay? And plus, they drive on the wrong dang side of the road. I kept trying to get into the driver's side on Luke's car because I was the passenger, and it's actually on the other side. I actually had to drive his truck one day to take him out to Simeon's. Whoa, that was an experience. Shifting with your left hand and stuff. It's the same pattern, but what was hard was making a turn because you're on the left-hand side, and so I'd want to turn into the right, and it's like, no, get back on this. You know, oof, man, it is. But that's why, because there's these roads and everything breaks down, and you can't see nothing out there. And there's no street lights out there. There's nothing. So, yes? Yeah. Yeah, black and green mambas, absolutely. Yeah, no, you know, where we were at, where Luke is, luckily in the villages where Luke lives, because there's so many people, you don't get a lot of that. But in Abelio's village, Jigamon, we were out there, that little boy that you saw breaking that thing on that tree, and then that was a little slimy thing. I opened it up, and I'm like, what is this? It looked like a monkey brain. I mean, it's like, I'm like touching it. Luke goes, dude, you're supposed to eat it. He opened that for you to eat. And I'm like, oh, great. So I start pulling stuff off, and I'm like, hey, that ain't so bad. But man, was it slime. I don't even know what the crud, I don't even remember what it's called. But I ate that whole dang thing because the kid was watching me, and I'm like, I didn't want it. But like, well, he cracked this thing for me. So I ate this whole dang thing. I just kept sucking on it. I'm like, okay. Spit the seeds up. So the question was the snake, but out there, she has some video. It didn't make it onto our deal here. But his original house you saw with the thatch roofs, it had gotten blown over several years ago in the hurricane. They had nowhere else to live, so they stayed under that collapsed roof for 2 years with their family. He's got 3 kids in that house. Now this is Abelio, is the pastor, the one that has the AIDS. He's the one that's. Anyway, they're doing the bags and stuff. But we were talking to him, and now he's got a house that Luke and CCO has helped. And he was there, and she was interviewing him about this thing, and I got to talk to him. And he said, I said, you really lived in there for 2 years? He goes, oh, yes, that's all we had. You know, this is what we climbed in there. And I said, man, I bet that was rough. And he goes, oh, yes. And he goes, and in the rainy season, he said, in the rains at night, the cobras would come in, and I'd have to fight the cobras to keep the cobras from coming in with my family. And I'm like, cobras? And he goes, yes, the spitting kind. I said, yeah, but you said cobras. He said, oh, yes, they ought to get in with you because it's warm. And I'm like, so I'd stand out and I'd fight them off so my family could sleep. And I'm like, I love my kids. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. And I said, there's cobras there. He goes, oh, yes, mambas. I said, mambas? He said, oh, yes, the black, because he can barely speak. He's another guy that translates for me. He didn't this time, but, and he says, oh, yes, green, black. I'm like, green and black mambas and cobras. And he's like, yes. He goes, oh, everywhere, all around. So yeah, they're all over. Luke said he was washing his face one time and earlier on, and he washed his face and he said he put the rag down and he looked and there was a green mamba right there on the sink staring at him. Don't worry about it, you guys. You know, you get bit. It ain't that big a deal. Anyway, yes, sir, Bob. Yeah. It did. It's the trick. And what I did this time is I didn't go the full oral Bible training thing this time. I was kind of setting it up because there's other people that are hopefully going to get involved to take it to the next level. So I was trying to sort of, maybe pave the way, prepare the way for the oral stuff. But I really worked that in and tried to get them used to telling the story. And I used the road to Emmaus with Jesus and the two guys, to sort of set the stage. Yeah. What's that?
What do they do for income?
There's no such thing. If you can bake some cookies and sell them on the road, or grow some corn, which, you know, anything like that, that's what they do. They survive on nothing. You know, it's bad. Yeah, and I'll tell you the best thing to do, and Luke would tell you this if he was here. Remember, there's Cross Connection Outreach, which is the U.S. side. You saw the truck there. That was Luke's old truck that Simeon now drives around. There's another business, actually, or the ministry in Mozambique, which is called Cross Connection Africa. And Luke very specifically said, look, if there's anybody wants to help, let's get it to CCA, because those are the guys, Sergio, Victor, Alejandro, Abilio, those guys, they're the ones that are going to help their people, because they know. So that's one of the things, you know, that we can look at in the future. These are the guys that are going to be doing the training. They got to take it to that next level. And they're the ones that are out there actually where the rubber meets the road and ministering to their people. So yeah, that would be tremendous to do that. Yeah. Okay, one more. Travis said only one more. Yes. Uh-huh. For the locals. Yeah, especially with the white men living there. They want to get in and, you know, whatever they can get, obviously. And it isn't like Luke's sitting there with anything other than... The only thing really Luke and Kristen have that's different probably than the local people is the truck. Their truck is a little nicer than most. And he's got a few tools that maybe they don't have, but they live basically like everyone else lives. And so there's not a whole lot, but it's even the people, you know, there's always the bad guys that want to get in. So everybody has a guard, you know. I guess they got a guard, several of the guards caught somebody, not Luke's place, but just up the road, like a week before we got here. And I guess the guards just went and pounded the dude in the dirt, just like dang near killed the guy. Because they're like, you know, you're stealing from your own people, and they just about wiped this dude off the map. So anyway, okay, last question. Sure.
How long has Luke been there?
He's been there I think this is his eighth year. Yeah.
I remember you talking, I thought it was since he was young.
Yeah, yeah. He went in when he went down when he was 16. Yeah.
16 years old. And the other thing I want to say, you said sorry about this unusual church service and stuff. Thank God for unusual.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thanks. Thank you. But listen, seriously, I can't say it enough. You've already heard it. I know you might get tired of hearing it, but I'm telling you, I hope and I pray, Marie and I, that you guys understand what it is that God has brought together that we call Calvary Mesquite. I hope you get it. I do. Because you don't understand how rare we are in a lot of ways, But we're very, very different than most churches. And you guys are, these guys, what they say, what Luke says, and Marie touched on it. I mean, their home church is nothing like this. And so you guys are what keep this kind of thing happening. And not there, but what we're doing, we're going to do in Belize. We got, you know, all these other places that God has us. I tell you, you're not supposed to be prideful as a believer, but I'm dang proud of this church. I am. Because I'm telling you, to go out there and to hear things like that and to be able to say to this little boy, hey, Luke's going, oh, we need to get him there, but I don't want, you know, the funds. And it's like, dude, get him. Let's take care of it. Don't worry about that. Are you sure the church already does so much? I said, there is nobody. In fact, if I went back and said we didn't do this, that would not be a healthy thing for me to do. So people, Calvary Mesquite, we're going to do this. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Quit. I told him, I said, dude, stop asking. If there's this thing, just let me know. So you did see the one big change. I started off with that little tiny board. And I was like, this isn't going to cut it, man. My poor arm was dying. Riding the race. And I was just like, dude, is there a place we can get a bigger board? And he's like, yeah, I think it's up there, man. But it's like a couple $100. I said, we got to get a bigger board. So you saw that was where that bigger board came from. And they never did get mounted the whole thing time I was there. We sat it on two chairs. And so every time I get to this side, I'd have to hold it from rocking. And then I go to this side. But it was great. I mean, I can keep going forever. But we got lots of big day to go in there. So God bless you guys. It's really good to be back. It'll be really nice. This is We've not stopped since last week, literally. So after all of this stuff today, we're not going to do anything for the next few days, because this is the first time we've had to not do something or be someplace, and it's just, we just got to get our heads cleared up. Both of us woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. We're still trying to adjust. Woke up 3 o'clock, boing, and you're just going, oh, wow, it's like 5:30, and look at the clock, it's just like, oh, no. So it's still that way yet. We've still got some adjusting to do. But we love you guys. Thank you so much. Yes.